O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Mystery. All of the Easter story has mystery about it, doesn't it? I mean, how can someone who is so just and right and true land up being crucified as a, well, to me, as a total mystery, how someone good that can happen to? Then there's all the mystery that sits around the resurrection. I mean, how does that happen? I mean, dead's dead, isn't it? That's the rationale that we live with. People rising from the dead doesn't kind of fit in the ordinary box of life. And then, of course, we hear in the stories of the day, you know, one minute Jesus is in the room and the next minute he's... No, the other way around. One minute he's not in the room, the next minute he is. And of course, if you follow the story, that goes the other way too. And the people at Emmaus, he reveals himself to them and then he's gone. I bet they sort of thought, darn, there are a few things I wanted to ask him. And he'd gone. No, I think they were filled with awe and wonder. Mystery. And so we have, in the midst of all this, trying to get it clear in our heads sometimes just produces more questions. Someone once said, it is not the task of Christianity to provide easy answers to every question, but to make us progressively aware of a mystery. God is not so much the object of our knowledge as the cause of our wonder. It's not so much the object of our knowledge, but the cause of our wonder. And I think sometimes in our pursuit of knowledge that is so cultivated in the Western world, that we have effectively removed mystery and magic. And yet we are nailed by magic, aren't we? We see somebody on TV who can do, you know, those amazing things, and we think, how do they do that? And it sort of titillates our interest. And whilst we want everything rational, people go to, you know, the Ouija cards and and they look at the horoscopes and they do a whole stack of stuff because there is actually a pursuit for mystery. There's a pursuit for an answer to all the questions which we haven't got answers to, and there is something that beyond us that we want to look for. Sometimes what we don't know is as important as what we do know. And while the Bible never encourages ignorance, it does honour trust. And trust is best seen when the circumstances are confusing. Because I've got no other option. I've got to trust. Or I go crazy. In effect, trust means that what we know to be true about God is greater than the questions we have about him. Remember, God longs for us to represent Jesus accurately. So he's going to provide for us all that we need to do that. And he has. He wants us to be his trusted co-workers. And God's passion is to bring people into his presence and to experience his glory. The bottom line is that we are to carry the beauty and the glory of God in what we do. That's what God is gifting you to do. We must therefore be a people of trust, and our trust will be seen when things turn out differently from what we expect and prayed for. It is said that knowledge is power, but when it comes to the knowledge of God, that doesn't work. When our knowledge of God doesn't lead us to surrendering our lives to him, we become frustrated. You see, God is predictable in that he is completely true, loving, faithful, honest, and note this, joyfully excited about your future. We don't tend to think of that, do we? I mean, when you committed your life to Christ, there was a party in heaven. So why would he not be excited about your future in him? He can see the possibilities that you and he together can achieve that may be beyond your imagination. So if you're wondering whether anybody's excited about you, know that God is. I think that's cool. But he is unpredictable, and that he sees the beginning from the end, and he knows the best route to take, even when it looks like it will turn out badly. Although sometimes the route that we take isn't the route that he intended for us to take. And sometimes taking our route doesn't look so good at the end. Now, if you view God as your servant, you will continually be frustrated. But if you are his servant, you'll be constantly in awe. It's all about perspective. The idea that we could figure God out will give us a false sense of control over him and cause us to think that we can get from him whatever we want. Now, this is called, or can become, religious manipulation. And he hates it. Will not be subject to it. God actually doesn't owe us anything. Learning to trust him will keep us from falling into the trap of knowing what's going to happen next. This is how trust is developed. This is how trust, not knowledge, makes us powerful. Years ago we used to do this trust exercise, and some of you probably did it, whereabouts you were blindfolded and someone else had to lead you around. How many of us done that? And it was absolutely hopeless. You could do nothing else but trust the person. Well, we tried to trust the person who was telling us. We hoped that they were doing it right, eh? Did they ever really fail us? No. Isn't it interesting that actually trust is not a natural instinct in adults, yet in children, explicitly trusting? You throw a kid into the air, they know that daddy or granddaddy or mummy or grandma is going to catch them. Depends on their size, doesn't it? Interesting. But trust is developed when we take risk and step into the blind. This week, Zane and I and Eric trusted maps to climb 3,000 something feet. 1,300, was it? 1,300 metres. On a track that at least two of us didn't know, so we trusted Eric that he did know. And it's exciting. Yet you head out somewhere into the unknown. David and Lynn, you head out to sea. You just have to trust everything you've got plus the knowledge you've got, because out there it's outside your control, isn't it? The sea actually is still master. We're doing it all the time. Doing it all the time. There's one basic requirement that God has of us, and it is faith. And in Hebrews it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. Faith is what he values. Living in faith and trust puts us in the best place for breakthroughs. Bold faith stands on the shoulders of quiet trust. Faith is an activity of the heart. Real faith comes through giving ourselves fully to him. Faith comes from surrender, not striving. Understanding with the renewed mind of Romans 12 is like the banks of a river to define the flow of the water. So faith is not mindless, nor is it intellectual, but it is superior to reason in that it gives our intellect a place to grow safely in the knowledge of God. Faith provides those stop banks for that knowledge movement to happen. Remember, it's the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14. The eternal God is the cornerstone of all logic and reason. God cannot be fully understood. If it were possible, we would be God. God is known by relationship, and it is amazing that the Almighty God wants us to know him. Because Jesus took our sin upon himself, we can approach the Father with the same qualification that Jesus has in coming before his Father. Jesus is received and celebrated by a perfect Father who is always good. And every follower of Jesus is equally received and celebrated because we are in Christ. So if I have a plea for you, it is this. Get over your fear of God. So often, you know, I talk with people and they were saying, well, I hope when I die I'm going to go to heaven, and I hope that I'm forgiven, and I'm hope. And I'm sure God's, why don't they listen to what I'm saying? Why don't they listen? Why are they making this so hard on themselves? Well, it's because of the natural sinner in each one of us who puts ourselves down and won't receive the generosity of God. We have a Father in heaven who delighted in his Son coming, and he delights in his sons and daughters as they come. To know God is the greatest privilege given to anyone. The cross of Jesus Christ is the ultimate invitation to know God. It is because of this that we can know with certainty he has spared no expense in making it possible for us to respond successfully to his invitation. So back to the mystery of God. Getting a clear understanding of this mystery of head versus heart is given in Ephesians 3. It says, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, often I forget about the first half of that verse because my mind can't contain the fullness of God. That I might be filled with all the fullness of God. I mean, God is beyond all comprehension. How can I, a mere human, be filled with all the fullness of God? Well, that's a mystery, isn't it? To know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, is key. The word know in this setting is the word means knowledge gained by experience. It is experiential knowledge. The word knowledge means to comprehend. So, in so many words, Paul is saying that we might know the love of God by experience in a way we could never fully understand. So knowledge is vital. And we have teachers in the Christian community, so we will learn. In fact, one of the main responsibilities of the Holy Spirit is to teach us. It is his divine priority. But we must make sure that our knowledge of God takes us to God, so that we grow in his kind of wisdom. I've known of people who have degrees in biblical studies and theology who admit to having no faith at all. It is all what they have in their head, and it has gone nowhere else. Now, what is amazing to me is that eternity runs through our veins. Yet we live in the present. We are citizens of earth, but we are already citizens of heaven. We are introduced to a kingdom that is both here and now, and yet this very same kingdom is coming. We are saved, yet we will be fully saved when Jesus comes for us. Our old nature has been crucified with Christ, yet our capacity, sadly, to sin has not disappeared. Oh, I wish that it would. Then I mightn't be able to live with myself. But no, that's the sinner in me talking, isn't it? We often live with a tension between two conflicting realities as followers of Jesus. This is why trust is to be built not upon principles or theories, but upon the solid rock called God's goodness. And I sometimes wonder whether the devil has made such a great job at us distrusting the goodness of God so that we miss the core thing that God is trying to show us. Sometimes the conflict or confusion we experience is to bring us face to face with what is both reliable and dependable, the goodness of God. Now the psalmist knew this. When he confronted with opposition and threats of violence, his response must become our response, regardless of what life is throwing at us. He said, Psalm 27, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What we really believe about God becomes evident when trouble comes. It's like the coffee pot. If the coffee pot's got coffee on and you knock it over, it's coffee that comes out. What's in it that comes out? If it's empty, nothing comes out. So same true with you. What knocks you is, and what comes out is the truth of what's inside. And sometimes, well, speaking for myself, it's not very pretty, is it? God is still, I'm a work in process. You see, answers to prayers are the easiest thing in the world for God. He is all powerful. What he doesn't control is our response to him. He has influence, but not control. As he has given us the most valuable gift, and it's called a free will. And when our will is surrendered to his purpose, all of creation gets closer to the healing God promised. It's vital, therefore, to see our destiny as followers of Jesus and the way it was presented to us by our beloved King, who put a towel over his arm and washed his disciples' feet. He rules to serve. Our privilege in life is to serve with the heart of a king and rule with the heart of a servant. Reigning with Jesus will never give us power over people. Instead, it will allow us the opportunity to serve sacrificially as Jesus did. Now, Bill Johnson says this: I believe in miracles. I do too. My experience, he says, has been that what Jesus promised, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the lame walk, and I've seen all those things happen myself personally. And the poor have the good news declared to them. Seen that too. Bill goes on to say, my conclusion is miracles happen entirely by his grace. I've seen them happen when there is great faith, as well as when there is simple obedience and prayer, but no real expectation of a miracle. It is still all by grace. And while this life of following Jesus is to be a life filled with the supernatural interventions, we are told this for a reason. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. Such a promise would never be necessary if everything worked the way we expect it. I sometimes think if it did, we'd be miserable. That's what Leonard Evans used to say, and I've said it before. God makes us miserable in one of two ways: when he answers our prayers and when he doesn't answer our prayers. And I've never forgotten it. God is not a vending machine where you put in a coin and you pull the handle and get out what you requested. He is a father that is to be known, trusting him enough to embrace mystery as a gift is one of the quickest ways to know God, who is beyond knowing, whose ways are always good. The one thing we are assured of in walking with God is the outcome. He has already recorded the score of the game in the book of records. We win. We win. I don't know whether you're one of these miserable people like me, but often I'm reading a novel, I have to go to the end to read the last. How many of us are guilty of that? Yeah. Now, the reason I do that is because I want to know how it got there. That's the first thing. The second thing, it reduces the tension. I can see some people saying, you shouldn't do that. But there is something about, I mean, you just think about the athletes we have at the moment. If they knew the outcome, it would be cool for them, wouldn't it? Especially if they were winning. The Orthodox on Good Friday, you've heard me say this before, put a casket in church with flowers on it and they dance around it. Why? Because they know the end of the story. God knows the end of the story. And we win. When you're feeling defeated and discouraged and everything else, you can say, but my God is good, and we win. It might be right hell here at the moment, but at the end of the day, we win. Because of this adversity, conflict or problems, they need not lead us into panic or despair. I know ahead of time how it turns out. All things work together for good. Because of this, I can give him thanks for what I need before it actually happened. For in his book, the score is already recorded. Knowing how things will turn out based on the promises of a good and perfect Father will change the nature of everything. Change the nature of every day of my life. Because God is good. We will never fully understand the mystery of God, and that's the magnificence of it. It just keeps inviting us to trust Him, that He's knows what He's doing, and that He is good, and goodness is what He seeks. There'll be always questions, because we're good at inventing new ones. And I think it was... forgotten his name, but he said, it may come to me, he said, I believe in order to understand. I have faith in order to understand. Augustine said it. I have faith in order to understand. Before that, he just couldn't get it together. When I stepped out in faith, now understand. And it's this trust. So God is good. And will always be better than I think and you think. Father God, we thank you that you are good. We thank you for all the promises that you have given. But above all, in your nature, you are good. Help us to trust that. Help us to grow in our trust. Help us to allow faith to be the banks of the stream of knowledge and understanding and of faith, that we would go forward in the way in which you would lead us. And when life is a total mess and we're confused and we're hurt and we're angry and we don't understand, help us to remember that you know the end. You know the score. And you are good. And you're better than I think. For this I'm grateful. In Jesus' name. Amen.